So faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Gospel picks up from last weekend's Gospel, where Jesus goes to his hometown, the place where he grew up, in Nazareth. And after his public ministry had begun, he was healing the sick, curing the lame, opening eyes and ears. He returns to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue, and he stood up to do the readings. They handed him the scrolls of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opens the scroll to the place where it talks about the coming Messiah. He says that he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim a year of liberty for captives. He closes the scroll, sits back down, and the eyes are all around him, and then he begins with the gospel. Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, some in the synagogue who knew Jesus as the son of Mary, the son of Joseph the carpenter, there are always people like that who will say, "Oh, Jesus, such gracious words, he's such a good boy. We remember him." Yes. But there are others who are listening to what Jesus was saying, that today this scripture passage is fulfilled, and they started saying, "Well, wait a second. Jesus, that can only be fulfilled by the Messiah." And so Jesus says to them, "You're going to quote me a proverb, physician, heal yourself. And do here what we hear you're doing in other towns." Basically, Jesus was saying to them, "You think you know who I am?" And they in turn say, "Well, we do know who you are. You're just a carpenter's son. We have you pegged, Jesus." But Jesus doesn't back down. He goes further and points out in Old Testament history where God had reached out beyond the Jewish people to the non-Jews, to the goyim, the uncircumcised, to the Gentiles, and reached out and did them favors. Now for the Jews, when they heard this, they were upset. Jesus talked about how the prophet Elijah went and stayed for 3.5 years with a widow woman and her son in Sidon. Then how Naaman the Syrian, a foreigner, was the only leper who was cured. There were other lepers in Israel, Jewish lepers, but Elisha the prophet only cured Naaman the Syrian. But when the people heard this, they were very upset with Jesus, filled with fury. They wanted to kill him. They didn't like what they heard. It wasn't according to their conception, because they thought they had this monopoly on God. Now, in the Old Testament, it's true, the Jewish people are God's chosen people, highly favored. But even the prophets started to intimate that God was going to reach out beyond the Jews to the nations and call them to holiness too. But the Jews of Jesus' time didn't want to hear this, and so they intended to throw him off the cliff. They couldn't manipulate this preacher as they have others. And so Jesus knew that this was going to happen. That is, that he would be a sign that would be opposed. Surely his mother Mary would have told him this as he was growing up, because those are the words that was said to her when she presented him in the temple on the 8th day. And how even from his birth, Herod the Great sought to kill him. So this is just another in a number of attempts on Jesus' life. But Jesus walks through the midst of them. knowing that his hour is not yet here. He came into the world for this hour. But before that could happen, he needed to reach out to the non-Jews. And so Jesus himself will reach out to the pagans, to the Romans. He'll go to pagan territories. He'll go to Sidon. And there announce the good news. The good news that will culminate in his greatest sermon that he'll give when they lift him up on the cross. Again, fulfilling a number of prophecies of the Old Testament. And there, between heaven and earth, Jesus will take on our sins. And by his death, redeem us. This is his greatest sermon, showing how much he loves us. Jesus said plainly to his apostles, there is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends. So Jesus comes into the world to take on our sins, to take on Satan, to take on death. And by taking on all three, he redeems all humanity, Jews and non-Jews. And this is something that the early church quickly realized, that it wasn't just exclusive just to the Jewish people, that God was going to redeem everyone, provided that they come by way of baptism. Baptism, St. Peter says, is what saves you now. The great commission of Jesus was to go out to all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, redeeming them for God. But that redemption, still waiting salvation. That is, salvation is something that comes to us when we finally get to heaven ourselves. So what type of people ought we to be? Well, we are a redeemed people. And in that we should glory. We should come together in praise and prayer. This is what the early church did. They would assemble on the day of the Lord's resurrection, praising God, singing hymns to Jesus as to God, for he is the Son of God. And then receiving from the altar, from the hands of the priests, the bread and wine that are now become the body and blood of Jesus. And so they would call their gatherings Eucharista in Greek, or in English, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We are thanking God for what he has done for us through Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for his friends. We thank God for the salvation that he is offering to each and every one of us. But it's an offer that we have to take up. It's not automatic. We still have to respond interiorly to God's holiness, to the call of love. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life. And so Jesus is showing us how we are to live. St. Paul realizes this in the second reading, huh? He's telling us what love is. God is love, St. John will write. But love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous or pompous, it's not inflated, not rude, not self-seeking. Not quick-tempered. Love endures and bears and hopes in all things. Love never fails. So that's the challenge of this gospel. The challenge to love ourselves. To be like Jesus. To realize that we are to go out of ourselves to help others. Not just be self-contained, self-interest. To help the poor in whatever way we may. To give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit those who are ill or in prison. We are all called to do something like this in our lives. To stand up for those who cannot speak for themselves. To be pro-life in that wider sense. So we do all of this realizing, huh? That we too will be opposed. Jesus recognized, hey, just as they persecute me, he told his apostles, they will persecute you, and you will be persecuted if you stand up for truth, for stand up for the church's teachings. But take courage, Jesus tells us. Take courage. I have overcome the world.